This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome into another victory edition of Spits and Suds. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Thank you so much for listening and supporting Spits and Suds. Got a good one for you tonight. Stars win. Whew, it was a close one. Harley scores with 5 seconds left as they beat, you know, kind of a tough New Jersey team. Shorthanded, of course, but they did get Jacob Markstrom back. He played pretty well for the Devils, but the good guys come out on top by the score of 4-3. And joining us tonight, and this is why it's going to be a good episode, the greatness, and I mean greatness, of David Castillo of DE Magazine and also the Substack, Stars Stack. How are you, my friend?
I don't know why you address me like I'm like Van Damme or Dolph Lundgren. I mean, I appreciate it. It's flattering, but it's just, come on. We know like who the weak link of this show is, and it's definitely me.
Oh, I thought you were going to throw someone else was under the bus. Like,
what?
Like definitely Tiffin. It's got to be Tiffin, right?
It's got to be Sean. Hey, that really awesome guy from EP Reading Site, Cam Robinson, he's a chump.
Well, first off, listen, the fact that there was not a Justin Dowling tribute is quite the American Airlines Center.
You know, I want to say credit to him, but if we're being honest, like, listen, New Jersey, like, has to improve their depth. Like, Justin Dowling does not belong on a serious roster, but credit to him. The dude was an animal for the Texas Stars for a lot of years.
Sure was. Yeah, absolutely. You know, this was interesting. The first half, the Stars were in control, playing really well, and then New Jersey just hanging around, and then, you know, at times New Jersey became the, you know, better team, and Casey DeSmith had to come up with some big saves, and New Jersey comes back all the way to tie it at 3. And then Harley becomes the hero with just seconds remaining. Just a good night for the faithful as far as kind of a fun game to watch. A lot of power play activity. Devils going 2-for-2. Stars, after such power play success, it's like we're almost complaining because we were only 1-for-5 on the power play after their recent success of 6-to-7. So it was just a quality. David, I know New Jersey's kind of shorthanded, but at the same time, you know, I mean, these wins against these are teams that are either in the playoffs or fighting to get in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, I always have to like recoup because you tend to throw me curveballs. Like the first player we talked about is not like Thomas Harley or Hintz, but Justin Dowling.
Of course. Like, I was sitting on that one all night, by the way.
Oh God. I think so when it comes to Dallas, I do think there is a little bit of perspective. And this is gonna sound negative. It's really not. But what you're seeing with the Stars is really a Stars team that is outscoring their problems. Like I said, I think that tends to have a negative connotation because it's like, oh, well, you know, what's wrong with the defense? Not necessarily. Like if you're outscoring your problems, you're winning games. So that's the positive. But I mean, I think it's something like 4 goals in the last like 8 games, so like 4 goals every, you know, 4 goals in the last 8 games, something like that, something really crazy. And of course, a big part of that has been the power play. So I think it's a good sign insofar as you want to see Dallas's offense rolling, But as we've seen with these games, you know, like not just New Jersey, but like the St. Louis game was really some very porous defense on Dallas's part. Mm-hmm. You kind of do wonder, you know, kind of what this calibration is going to look like when it really gets down to the marrow. And of course, obviously the health is the biggest factor, but Dallas is not doing this with it, not winning these games without some drama.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And of course the mighty scoring ability of Ilya Lyubushkin. He talked, it was so cool to see the excitement of his teammates, even more than Ilya himself. But let's give credit, when you haven't scored in, you know, you would never know that he hadn't scored in, what, 173 games from that shot. That was a beauty.
Yeah, it had a real sort of, do you remember the beautiful Roman Polak goal? Like his first season with
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, like when he scored. I'm like, what is it with Dallas? Like bringing in these absolute like cement block, you know, skate, cement block foot defensemen, shutdown types that score like goals that you would see from like a Nikita Kucherov.
Right.
Of course, you know, Lyubushkin is actually like a quite an adept skater. So I was just throwing him in there. But yes, that was my first thought.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, they're just finding, you're right, they're finding different ways to win. And there is some drama, you know, in there. I guess the question is where are they as they head into the trade deadline? Jim Nill has made it very clear numerous times that, you know, moves that will happen will deal with a UFA if he holds to that. I was a little surprised ESPN was bringing up Maverick Bork in a trade. Like, you know, maybe they're showcasing him tonight because Jim Nill has said several times, you know, that that is not the intention to trade a Bork or a Stankoven, clearly a Wyatt Johnston or a Liam Bischel. He's keeping this young core intact. So a little surprised. But I mean, you know, that's what happens in national broadcast too.
Wait a minute. Are you surprised that a national broadcast would not necessarily vet the quality? I mean, this is a broadcast that has Dave Jackson on it. I'm not going to be, I don't feel like being diplomatic tonight or really like with ESPN in general, because you saw like to me, and it's not necessarily that, you know, people are bad at their jobs. It's just the same. It's the soundboard. It's the hockeyisms. It's the hockey culture that just kind of permeates throughout the broadcast, right? They were talking about, they were still peddling the narrative that, oh man, Thomas Harley looked really good at the Four Nations, but yeah. I don't think it was his talent. I think it was veteran Drew Doughty, who's been like on a decline for, you know, this season and has only had like 8 games, really, really like, you know, gas in Harley. And that's why Harley was so good, because he had a veteran who's not what he once was buffering his game. Like, get the hell out of here.
Right. Right. Yeah. And speaking of Harley, I guess one of the things that I'll ask you is, great to see him get that goal in the closing seconds, but should I be worried about the number of minutes that Thomas Harley is logging?
Yes and no. Yes, because this is what happened in last year's playoffs, right? You had defensemen like Heiskanen that were playing way too much. You know, there was the whole 5 defensemen thing, right, in the Edmonton series.
Right.
And that really caught up to them. I mean, it's just, that's just the physical reality of a game this intense, and especially against like upper level competition. So I think it's something that maybe won't be the kind of worst thing for Harley. Or I think it was Robert Tiffin that had kind of written a piece on at his Substack, Stars Thoughts, about Harley admitting, I'm tired. Yeah. He just flat out said, like, I'm exhausted. Didn't actually say exhausted, but nonetheless, that was the implication. And so I think for the regular season, you can get away with stuff like that from time to time. But I don't think it's something that, there is a cost in the playoffs, to that kind of thing. Now, are we likely to see it if Heiskanen's back? No. But I think it is worth being careful. I mean, what are the chances, and this is just my personal opinion, this is not necessarily, what are the chances that, I guess, like, even though I don't have a problem with it, like, now here and there, the one thing I would say is that Dallas is pretty much locked in to a first round matchup with either Minnesota or Colorado.
Yes.
Yes, there's a remote chance they can catch Winnipeg, and Winnipeg is definitely a team that's lost several games in a row. And I think Winnipeg is also a team that I think they have like more issues than you hear national telecasts talk about it, like their even strength offense. However, still, you know, this is a team that's probably going to get a lot better at the trade deadline. Again, like Dallas would need to make up a lot of ground. So I just feel like, who cares? You know, like, yes, you want to win games, but you don't want it to come at the cost of anything. So I don't like it, but I also don't necessarily see major harm, at least in the regular season.
Wyatt Johnston gets the stars on the board, just 139 in with leaving the zone. And wow, I don't know why, David, but like I knew Wyatt Johnston, obviously skilled, good two-way player. Maybe it's because we haven't seen a lot of Wyatt Johnston in open ice as far as that breakout speed he had tonight. Just passing by the Devils and Dougie Hamilton and others just couldn't catch up.
So you need to interview Luke Chilcote. He is the star skating coach and kind of really comes across as sort of another kind of Barb Underhill, who was the skating coach that really improved and identified the lace bite that Mason Marchment suffered from to kind of really sort of get his skate into a much more functional place. And so that to me is huge because, and I was talking about this with Dmitry Filipovich on his podcast about just the improvement in Johnson's skating. And I felt like you had even noticed a little bit of it last year when he seemed more agile, but now he's just like flat out fast at times. And I think you've seen plays like that. This was just the most dramatic example.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really impressive. And, you know, knowing where to put it on Jacob Markstrom. And, you know, maybe it's because they're in the Eastern Conference, but I kind of feel for New Jersey. Like, just when they get Jacob Markstrom back, you know, they lose Hughes, which is just a big loss for them.
Well, I mean, the issue with New Jersey is that they're a team that they still kind of lack depth. And like some of the guys that you expected to really kind of level up, like Dawson Mercer, did not. And then you have kind of the struggles of like Timo Meier, and their defense also has been like injured a lot as well. Right. I mean,
yeah,
even before Dougie Hamilton got back, that was a big injury. Siegenthaler, that was a big injury. And so they're playing prospects that they clearly weren't comfortable bringing up this early. Like, you know, Nemitz and I mean, Luke Hughes is already like a proven defender at this point. But nonetheless, I think they're probably a team that would have preferred to maybe kind of ease these guys into the lineup and just didn't get a chance to. So kind of like Dallas, you know, they're competing with a lot of young players. But the difference is that, you know, New Jersey doesn't have quality goaltending and they just don't have the depth, the offensive depth.